Hey guys, welcome to the Evan and Caitlin podcast, brought to you by Cat Hair. Cat Hair.
It's everywhere.
That intro was written by Andrew Bills. Thank you for the intro. If you guys want your intro to be in our podcast, you can tweet us on Twitter with the hashtag EK podcast intros.
Yeah, EK podcast intros. So, that's actually a very fitting intro because we just released our Cactus project and we did an ad in the beginning where we it was an ad for Dyson and we wanted to show vacuuming up cat hair. And so I've been I felt so creepy doing this,
collecting cat hair
for several days beforehand. So we have a little brush. I was brushing her extra and I was yes, give this to me. There's places she always sits at on the couch and a good way to especially for couches and stuff. If you get rubber shower squeegees, they really help get up pet hair. It was pet and cat mixed together, pet hair. And so I was doing that and I was haha. And I was Evan, look at my pile.
And she put it in a baggie.
Where am I supposed to put it?
I don't know. It's pretty funny.
I needed a couple days to collect, you know?
And I can't believe that we got her to sit down on her own cat hair. I was just so lucky for that.
I thought she was just going to eat it.
I'm just also so happy. Oh, by the way, the podcast is going to be about home renovation and all of our thoughts around that. But side story, I'm just so happy that video is doing well right now.
I know. We just released it a couple hours ago. And we're
3.5 hours ago.
Yeah, because we had really high hopes for the Cactus video.
Yeah, and it launched at a number one spot amongst our past 10, which is just so exciting to
it's
us
so cool.
that It's not that we ever really doubted that we had lost what we were doing, but
I think when it's been a while since you've had a number one, you're am I losing it?
Am I losing it? Have I lost my edge? Do we not even know what we're doing anymore? Do we not know what our audience wants from us?
even if it's great job, your video is performing as usual. So it gives you it ranks your past 10 videos in terms of how they perform in the first hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, et cetera, and compares them. And it tells you a little evaluation.
Yeah.
And it keeps saying great job, but it'll be number four and we're what? Or number eight and we're what? Even though that's as usual.
It's in the normal deviation of spread of our videos. So it's yeah, you did another video. Good job. Fine. But it's
it's fine.
It's fine.
So it's great. It was good to have one that is at number one of our past 10.
Showing that our channel's still healthy and that we have ideas that are good.
We just need to do more cute giant things.
Cute giant things. So it's what do you think the thing was? I think there's a ton of aspects that make go into
a
video
that,
doing well. But I think it's there's in terms of what made this video do well. I think it's one aspect of it is this to that. Another aspect is
that when you say this to that, you mean the transformation that we showed in the thumbnail of
yes.
go from a balloon to this funky looking cat shaped thing.
Yeah. Also, it's a novel thing. That I'm not sure if it's been done before, you know?
I haven't seen it done. I've seen individual elements of this done.
Yeah.
But not combined in the way that we did.
So it's a new thing. It's a this to that. It's people want to see how it asks a question, even though we're not asking a question. It's how did they get from that to that? Mm-hmm. I don't know. We can analyze things with 2020 hindsight and try to guess at what it was, but really, we still don't know.
We still don't know, but I'm glad it's doing well. I'm really proud of that video.
In other news, it finally got cold.
I know.
And oh,
cold,
it's so great.
What is it in the 60s right now? In the high
60s? Yeah. Let me look at the weather right now. Let's talk about the weather. I've been in the podcast where we talk about the weather.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it's been so hot here for so long.
It's been in the low 90s still. Yeah, so it's so good to have it be 60. Although, the catio, we made it. In the late spring, it was already pretty toasty here in Texas. It was already hitting the 90s. And cats like it warm. They prefer a temperature of 80 to 85 degrees.
Yeah.
And so she's been loving it all summer. And she went out.
She hops out there when it's 96 degrees.
Yeah.
And she's just chills.
She just hangs out. She loves it. And so this morning, the cold front had come in. And she hops out there and she's what? And a breeze blows and she gets all tense and she's like, what the what? And she's looking around and she just immediately went out. She's done that twice this morning already.
She thinks that she wants out, but she's like, nope, still too cold.
Yeah. So we might have to like
put some blankets put some in there blankets for her
or something, or like some towels. The thing is, like, it rains on and off sometimes too, and I don't want things to get gross.
But we can like, if we know it's not going to rain, we'll put something out there and we'll take it in at night. So yeah, we'll put it out during the day,
take it at night, like a towel or something.
Like that. Yeah, I think that'll work.
She loves sleeping on towels.
Another update is when this comes out, we'll have already been there, but we're going to be heading to a local makerspace here in Houston, the Maker Barn, and we're going to be giving away some of the machines we've been accumulating.
Yeah,
which is kind of it's a good thing. It's a necessary thing, just because we don't use them anymore, and I'd rather have them being used and appreciated by people than just sitting here taking up space in our house. Cause it's like not benefiting us. It's like almost hurting us because it's just taking up space. And, you know,
and by machines, we're talking specifically like
3D printers,
mostly 3D printers and a few other tools and stuff.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, there's stuff that we got when it made sense for us. We made our money using it. You know, it's we used to sell, I think we've talked about it before, we used to sell products to West Elm, we used to sell things, and that was the idea that we had. Like, I just kind of envisioned, like, a room full of, like, 20 to 30 3D printers printing all day with, like, cloud-enabled connections, and I can just, like, wake up in the morning.
Turn on my 3D printers. I'm sorry.
Just have them be running all the time and making money for us, just like printing things that we can sell and, you know, we can monetize.
And we did do that. I mean, not a room full, but we had a wall full of 3D printers doing that, making products. But
that's just not our identity anymore. And
well, I think the thing is, even though, you know, we've talked about this in podcasts, we have like a whole video about small scale manufacturing. And utilizing something like 3D printers does definitely help if you're trying to like make more products without hiring people or like outsourcing work. But there's still a decent amount of human involvement because we still have to paint them, finish them, mount them, make the wood backings, all these the back different end things.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, all the back end stuff. And there's just not time to do that and make videos. But it is kind of weird, like getting rid of the extra 3D printers. And we're still keeping a couple, you know, because we still use them for videos. But getting rid of the extras is like we're officially closing
that chapter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's good. It's good to kind of like decide and move forward as opposed to just like leaving it in an undecided limbo state. You know what I mean?
Even though we had already we had kind of closed the chapter on making stuff, but I feel like for me, it was still a little bit of like, well, maybe there's something else we'll use these for. Maybe there's a different type of product we might start making that doesn't require all the human interaction. Maybe like we'll do some project that requires a ton of 3D printing and we'll need them all running. But
then like, you know, if it like, honestly, now I'm saying something I haven't fully thought through, so take it with a grain of salt. If we're going to be doing a ton of 3D printing, one thing we might do is, you know, we might reach out to, we know someone who has a 3D printer farm in Houston, you know, or we could order from, like an online store that prints them at a reasonable price. And for us, our time is more valuable than, you know, the slight cost savings of like, so it's like, okay, prototype that like first few or the idea or whatever here with our printers that we have here. And then if we need to print a ton of one thing or like bigger things or just a huge volume of them, we'll just order it.
That's true.
You know, like that's like, well, what we need is we need the stuff that will get us like through the day to day.
That's
true. And really one or two 3D printers is
kind of all we need. Yeah. So that's what we're like, we're paring it down to just like, I think we're keeping two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't know, we'll kind of link some resources down below. I mean, we even have like, we've set up a store on one 3D printing website where if people don't have 3D printers, they can buy our items and have them shipped straight to them. Like the ring that Caitlin and I designed together.
That was
or the necklace or something like that.
We designed the ring and the necklace in the same video.
Yeah.
But anyways, one of the reasons that we are going through this stuff and getting rid of it is the 3D printers live on the 3D printing cart. The 3D printing cart lives in the guest room, and we are in the middle of a guest room makeover for a video.
Yes.
So that's why we've kind of been forced to look at things and figure out what we need. And it's not just the printers, there's a lot of like accessories and stuff too that we're giving away, and all that'll open up a lot of space. But that kind of leads us to our topic, because it's kind of a home renovation, room makeover
very
kind of
smooth
project.
Transition.
Thanks. Our topic is a question that was submitted to us, a series of questions actually, by Black Hearth Creations. And I guess the overall theme is, I'd love to hear more about your time renovating your house. And there's a bunch of questions, so I thought it'd be cool to go through them one by one, and just talk about like house renovating, house buying, house DIY type stuff.
How old were we when we bought our house? 26?
Yeah, 25 or 26.
25 or 26.
This is before we were married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we bought our house, I feel like, relatively younger than most other people we knew.
And we bought it mainly for financial reasons.
Well, I think it was a mix. I think part of it was financial reasons, because it was really like low interest rate. It seemed like a good investment.
Well, like looking at the monthly cost of the house versus the apartment that we wanted to live in, because we wanted like, you know, a big enough apartment for the two of us, and we wanted to be in a certain area, and you know, all these requirements and stuff. And our apartment price kept on going up, and that really annoyed both of us. I think that was like a big factor. We're like, this is unfair. Why does the monthly rent keep on going up? And I know that's just part of the business plan of apartments, but it's like,
still seemed unfair.
It's going up at an unreasonable rate. And I'm like, what the heck is going on?
I think there's a lot of things. The apartment we lived at was close to your job.
Yeah.
But then you switched jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were looking at new apartments, because the apartment wasn't near, and I was working from home at the time, so my job wasn't an issue. But we were like, okay, well, since we're looking at new apartments, why don't we look at houses too? Because, you know, this apartment that we were so like indignant about the price increase is actually cheaper than any other apartment we can move to.
Yeah.
And so why don't we just look at houses? And plus, at the time, I was really into home DIY blogs. Read a lot of Young House Love and Chris Loves Julia. And, yep. And it just seemed so fun to have your own space that you could do more stuff to than you can do in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, like, I'm not going to lie, that was kind of a little bit of the appeal. The practical money reasons are part of it.
I think for me, I was just like upset that our apartment could just increase our rent to whatever it wanted to. And I was like, this is stupid. It's like, at least like show me some economical breakdowns of why it's increasing at the rate.
Yeah.
Like, is it like, you know, justify this.
Justify yourself.
I know if they had it, I might have been more okay with the price increases, but I still probably would have wanted to move out.
Yeah, well, especially because like we were looking to potentially move anyway.
And the house that we ended up buying, this house that we're at right now, we jumped on it right away because we recognized that this was the right house. But the whole house buying process, we actually have a whole blog post on that we'll link down below. House buying for noobs.
It was like the first thing we did on the blog that like got some traction on Pinterest.
Oh, it got thousands of pins. Yeah.
Thousands of pins. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we did a whole blog post on it because we felt super passionate about
the information that we needed wasn't out there in the format that we wanted and we could understand.
Yeah, everything was like, if you're a first time home buyer, everything out there is so confusing. You know, it just wasn't broken down. So while it was still fresh, we were like, okay, we're going to basically write a guide for our future selves.
Yeah.
You know, or like what we would have wanted to look at. But yeah, it was also interesting because we looked at so many houses.
Yeah.
We looked at a bunch together, but then I also looked at a bunch without you because I was like pre-vetting.
So many houses.
Like probably 50 houses.
Yeah.
Because I'm really particular.
We almost bought one house. We almost like jumped for a house that was like more expensive than we needed and bigger, way bigger than we needed. Although, looking back, maybe we could have made use of this space.
Yeah, maybe now I'm like, that extra room might be nice. But yeah, we almost, well, we had already been looking for so long. And then we found this house that was exactly in the area we wanted.
Exactly in the area.
Exactly there. And it had really good bones. But the only thing is, it had like a 1,000 more square feet than we needed. And it was like 75,000 more than we had already like
budgeted
our
for.
Yeah, our max budget.
No, it was 70 over our max. What? I just thought it was just like a little bit beyond what we had discussed.
No, no, no. It was, well, the scope had crept.
I think that it was within our approved loan amount.
It was within our approved loan amount.
But looking at the payments.
No, it wasn't.
No, what?
No, because we offered the max. We got like our approved loan amount.
Yeah.
We had decided, okay, our personal max is significantly lower than what we were approved for because we didn't want to use up the whole thing. But this house is even beyond the approved loan amount. So we're like, well, we'll just offer the top of the approved loan amount. Because I had already looked at like 30 houses and not found 30 anything.
Houses.
So many houses. And we were getting kind of desperate. And they didn't take our offer, which was a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
Because it was so much more expensive than like this house was, our current house. But it's interesting, like when we walked into our current house, we made an offer while we were still in the house.
Yeah, we did. We're like, this is it. Let's put in an offer. Let's go.
We'd already looked at so many. This is the right price. It was very near the like area that you know, we had found the first house in. Like we just knew immediately looking at the bones of it that we could do some really cool stuff with it.
Yeah, and the price was very reasonable.
The price was so reasonable. We offered more. Than the
price. Because like it was so low that there was like a little bit of a bidding.
There was a bidding war on it. So there was other offers. But we also wrote a letter to the homeowner and we're like, hi, we're first time homeowners. We'll be getting married soon. We're so excited to like, we really want this house to be our first house and we really love it. And please pick us.
I think that might have helped.
I think it helped. Yeah. I think it helped. That was one of the tips from our realtor that was like, you know, write a letter.
Yeah.
If you're in a bidding war, write a letter.
Yeah.
You know, if someone feels like they have more of a connection with you, they might pick you.
So we bought the house and the house that we're in is our very first house, obviously. In terms of home ownership experience, we didn't have much at all. I mean, like,
I think it was experience. Well, I think the question. So the first one was, why did you decide to buy your house? That's what we just kind of covered. The next part of the question was, what level of experience did you have when you started? I think that's experience with like renovation.
Well, but we started renovating right away. Like immediately. Yeah. Immediately.
But we didn't have experience with that.
Yeah.
Beforehand.
So it's like, my parents had renovated a house in the past when I was like 13. And, you know, my parents had owned lots of houses because we moved a lot. But personally, I had zero experience renovating houses, doing anything big.
Yeah, I had zero.
And, you know, all of the knowledge that we had is from research, like looking at blogs, like Caitlin looked at blogs, and I might have looked at like a few YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that's it. We didn't have any practical experience.
Yeah, and there were things that we hired out. You know, some of it we did ourselves and some of it we hired out. And
some we did both.
Some we tried to do it ourselves and then we had to hire it out anyway. Yeah. So some examples are, one thing we hired out that I'm so glad we hired out, because it's something that if you're going to do it, it's so much easier if you do it before you move in. And that is changing the floors.
Yes.
So the whole house was like a beige carpet and black, like this white tile with black grout that was really cracked badly in a lot of places.
Weren't there like multiple tiles? There's one in the entrance, one in the kitchen, one in the...
They're the same.
Okay.
It was the same.
I've forgotten. I've blocked it all out.
I was looking at photos recently because in our guest room renovation video, going back to get old photos of the guest room and I was like, oh my God, our house when we moved in. And so we hired out someone doing the floors, and I'm so glad we did, because there was like, when they pulled up the carpet, there was a pitcher's mound of concrete under the carpet.
So much foundation issues
they had
from
never,
the past.
They said that they had not seen something with this many. Well, the foundation issues were past, the foundation was fixed, but like the cleanup after the foundation
was sloppy.
Repairs was super sloppy, and they're like, we've never had to grind down and build up and grind down and build up so much foundation.
Yeah. We would have been so much over our heads. We wouldn't have known at all what to do in that case.
Yeah, and we didn't want to get a storage unit or anything for our furniture, so hiring that out, I think, was a good idea. A flooring thing that we did try to do.
The laundry room?
Yeah, we tried to do our laundry room floors.
like put down tile?
Yeah, well, the floor guys had removed the tile, the old cracked tile, but we didn't want the wood floors in there because it's a laundry room. We wanted tile floors. And what we should have done is just hired them to do the tile floors in there. But we were like, we can do that ourselves. Yeah. It's a small space. But that area, because there were already like machines in there, like laundry machines and a fridge, when they were leveling all the ground, they didn't level that area. Like they didn't move that. And so that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to pour like the quick set and level that area. And oh God, we just made it worse. So we just had like mounds of lumpy concrete in our dining room and I think we in our laundry room. So I think we ended up calling that same company and being like, do you guys do tile too?
Yeah. You know, but like, you know, we wouldn't have known what we didn't, like, you know, we just didn't know what our limits were until we tested them. I'm glad we tested.
Well, and an interesting thing is, oh yes, I almost forgot that this happened. Because we had done all the research to DIY it ourselves, and like we didn't have the skills to do it, but like we knew the proper steps and we had done so much research. Before I called back the people that did our floors, I called someone that was like specifically tile.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with the flooring, we didn't know if they did tile as well. So I just found some tile installer that got good reviews on Yelp or whatever and called them to come do it. And we had our tiles. I forget if our tiles now were ceramic or porcelain. You're supposed to cut them with a wet saw.
Yeah.
And I knew that because I had done the research and I was like preparing for us to have to cut them. And this guy kept cutting our tiles, not with a wet saw, and kept shattering them. And you were at work. Again, I worked from home, so I was at home and I was kind of like monitoring this guy, and he just kept breaking our tiles. And these were, you know, he'd gone through almost a whole box of tiles breaking them. And I was like, you need to use a wet saw. And he's like, no, it's just your tile. And I'm like, no, it's not the tiles. You're using the wrong type of saw. And he was kind of arguing it. I just asked him to leave. Yeah. I think we like paid him partially for like the beginning of the work.
You have to know what's right and what's wrong and stand up for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And I had done the research and I knew, and he was breaking all of our tiles. We would have had to go buy more tiles, like a significant amount more. And so, yeah, it's interesting. Doing the research let us feel more confident in knowing like what the issue was.
Yeah. So even if you are going to hire it out, make sure you know what it looks like what it should look like at the end when it's done properly. Even like, you know,
or like what the proper process is.
Yeah. Even like in the attic, I even know what proper electrical wiring should look like. You know, it shouldn't just be like dangled on the floor and pulled tight and everything. But like sometimes it's tough to like summon the extra energy to like make sure it's done right and check it afterwards and, you know, stand up for yourself. But if you don't, sloppy work's going to get done. And even like though I knew we needed to do that, sometimes would have work done and I wouldn't supervise and check it enough. And like, you know, we have this cable running across the entrance to the attic that's a high voltage wire and it's like running across the opening of the attic.
You and can I'm see like, it in is, our attic renovation video.
This is so wrong. Why did I don't want to like disparage this guy, but at the same time, it's like, do things right. I don't know.
You just got to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what was our level experience when we started? Zero. But the only way to learn is to start doing it. And I think that like,
yeah,
I don't know. Do you think that more people are going to keep on buying houses, or do you think a lot of people are just going to rent in the future going forward, like our generation and future generations?
I mean, I think the trend is towards renting these days, but it's like everything is the trend is everything is kind of pushed later. People are getting married later. People are buying houses later. People are having kids later. So I think the house buying is kind of tied to that. So I see people continuing to wait later to buy a house, but I don't know if like overall house buying will go down. Yeah. Or not. I don't know. I don't know enough about like the real estate market and stuff like that.
I don't know either. for us, financially, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Even though, like, you know, we do have to take on, you know, repairs every now and then. But, you know, your luck varies depending on your house and, I guess, your luck, you know?
Yeah.
Because there are expensive things needed every now and then, like the air conditioning and ducts, and there's just a lot that goes into it. But at the same time, if you're living in a house and you're renting it and you need to keep on calling someone to repair things and they're not doing the best job, I think that'd be even more frustrating.
Well, that's if you're living in a house and you're renting it.
Yeah.
But usually if you're living in an apartment and you're renting it, I feel like it's maybe slightly faster, because to get stuff repaired, it was pretty fast for me to get stuff repaired when I was in like my old apartment and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the apartment complex has X amount of units, meaning they're able to keep their like team of repair people busy. Like they're on site more.
Yeah.
You know, because there's like more units to take care of, where if you're renting a house and the person you're renting it from this might be their only rental.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as easy for them to like call up their person and have them there immediately.
Yeah, because they don't have that like power. Because like an apartment, even if they outsource it, you know, having an apartment complex is a like huge client. Tool. You know, so it's we gotta take care of the apartment complex before we go and fix this one guy's whatever problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little bit faster when you're in an apartment.
Yeah. What was that? Was that when you started building your tool arsenal, or did you have a lot of tools to begin with? When we moved in together, we had zero tools between us.
Yeah.
At the apartment.
Yeah.
And then our first tools we got for the wedding to start DIYing the letters.
The marquee letters.
We got a jigsaw, a hammer.
We got a hole drill. Saw. The hole saw, right? To drill the holes.
Yeah. So a drill with a hole saw bit, which is like a spade bit, the cheapest one, like the $1 hole bit. So, you know, we started our first projects with like less than $100 worth of tools.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's all we had in the apartment. And then when we moved here, we just kind of started buying things.
I think the next thing we bought were some wrenches for plumbing.
Yeah, because we did some plumbing DIY in our house.
And then we didn't
buy a ton.
Yeah, I don't think so.
We
didn't buy the circular saw for a long time. Or a miter saw or anything.
We started buying a few things because we had the blog where we were documenting fixing up our house.
Yeah.
And that led to making a few small pieces of like furniture and things. So we got like the miter saw.
Yeah.
Because we made that side table. We made that bench.
Yeah. We made the scratching post.
Well, the scratching post, no. That was, the original scratching
post. The original scratching post.
Yeah, we made the scratching post. So we were doing a few small woodworking projects.
Yeah.
That we did on the blog. So we had like...
I love the miter saw.
I know, me too.
It's so easy. But I think that the approach of just buying the tools that you need for the projects that you're going to be working on, I think that's the best approach. I think we've said that multiple times before, but I don't think like pre-purchasing tools that you don't have a use for, that's not like, don't buy the tools and assume the projects are going to come to you.
Yeah.
Find the projects and then get what you need to make that project a success.
Yeah. Cause we've done it the other way and we still have tools that we haven't used.
Like which ones?
Like the sledgehammer. I always think of the sledgehammer.
Okay, besides the sledgehammer, that was an impulse buy on my. I was like, "What if there's zombies eventually?"
No. We were gonna do that. I know.
But like in my head, I was thinking, I just want a sledgehammer.
Really? I thought it was because we were gonna bust up the old patio.
Also that. And there's a cool hammer. It's a big hammer. Anyways, what else though?
Okay.
What other tools have we gotten that we ended up not using?
Well, it's not really tools, but we have bought stuff for future projects. Like we were going to
Replace every outlet.
Replace every outlet, every switch. So we bought all of them. We've gradually been doing it over 6 years, but we still have a bag of switches and outlet covers that like we haven't done.
We bought them when we first moved into the house.
Yeah.
And we still haven't done them.
Yes.
Well, it's like, you know, like.
Oh,
like,
we bought, and this again isn't tools, but we bought a bunch of like tile related stuff.
Oh, yeah, because we're going like, to re-grout, redo all the things.
Re-grout and reseal stuff. And then we're like, re-grouting's a lot of work. So we didn't do it, but we had all these, like, all this stuff. Just buy things right before you're going to do the project.
Next question. Okay. Were there any surprises or things you weren't expecting to have to fix? I think we were expecting most things. I didn't think we were expecting plumbing issues so early on, because we started experiencing that like right away.
Yeah. Well, no, we were expecting them. Because the inspector told us that there were some minor leaks.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, he did. You're right.
Yeah. So, like, we knew we were going to have to do some plumbing stuff. And that, I think we've told the story before. But so that was, like, one of our first projects that was very stressful. One thing that I wasn't expecting is there was just all these, like, mystery cables and wires.
Yeah.
Everywhere in the house. And we found out that they were tied to like an old alarm system that was no longer like present. Working.
Yeah.
And so we had this whole ordeal of, and I guess we could have just left them, but they really bothered me. There would just be like a wire coming out of the wall that just went nowhere and just ended. And I'd be like, what the heck is that?
When we bought the house, everything had been repainted in the cheapest and most horrible of paints ever.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
It's all, like, ceiling paint. It's more matte than matte. It's like paper.
Yeah, it shows every single mark.
It shows every single mark.
Our walls are marked up.
But I think the basic way that is, they took the home security system, and in the repaint of our entire house, that's when, like, you just had all these, like, leftover cables. They just snipped everything out and then repainted over everything, including the cables.
Yeah.
So there's all these cables, like, still on the wall, just with mysterious ends, and they nowhere.
And, like, that really bothered me. And so we spent a decent amount of time up in the attic, like, tracing cables to the wall and pulling them out. And we had, like, a whole huge nest of cables, remember, that we got rid of. So many cables. Yeah, it was like, literally a huge, giant nest. And they're all, like, down in our, like, AC intake.
Yeah, and we had a seal around that and everything.
Yeah,
and,
oh. So that was one that I didn't expect, like... You hear things like plumbing things and, oh, you're going to have to repaint and this and that.
One thing we didn't understand how big of a deal it was, but our insulation in the attic was just like, it looks like a Tasmanian devil had just like twirled around up in our attic. Like, oh, the bats were just like laying all over haphazardly, torn off the walls. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, electrical work and other work has been done where they need to remove it, but just no one put it back up. So it's just like
left in piles.
Just left in piles, like spaghetti hair wires all over the place in the attic.
That whole project required so much more work than I was expecting. In the project we're referring to is blowing our own insulation just because of all the prep work.
All the prep work.
So much. Blowing it was like... That was a day's worth of stuff.
I'm glad that we're doing a really good job of convincing people to buy homes.
I'm still glad that we bought our house.
I'm still glad, too.
Our house has had pretty minimal issues, and...
A lot of the things that we did were brought upon us by ourselves. Nothing was really necessitated that much, except for, like, a few plumbing issues that we could have... And we could have just...
Hired it out
right at the beginning. It would have been, like... $10,000. That's a lot of money.
No,
$5,000, $2,000, $3,000
for the plumbing things that we fixed.
Oh no! If we had have had all of the plumbing in our entire house,
oh yeah,
all replaced with like PEX piping and all of that.
That would have been several thousands of dollars. But we still don't have that. All we did was replace the leaky parts.
Yeah, all we did was replace the leaky parts
that's pretty normal.
With like $100 worth of like.
And it
components.
Probably would have cost us like $200 to hire someone else to do it.
I don't know, maybe.
But, you know, we learned things.
Yeah. But, you know, it's like when you're thinking about like the value of the house and everything and like the money we saved by buying like an older house. I think that like buying an older house and fixing it up, even if you're like paying people for it, like the major things like AC, plumbing.
Electrical.
Yeah. That's where you can get your money back out of or something.
Wait, what are you saying?
That's where it makes sense to spend money.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think it makes sense to spend money elsewhere.
But like, you know, I'm not sure how much like, you know, if we paid someone to strip all of the walls in the entire house and repaint them with a nicer paint, the value of the house wouldn't have been reflected.
Oh, you're saying in terms of like value. I was thinking more in terms of like... Like, we didn't want carpets, so we hired someone.
Oh, like the value to us. No, I'm thinking like the value of the house, in a way.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is just that even though some of the money you pay every month, like interest, you're just losing it.
Yeah.
Some of it you're putting towards an asset that you then can sell or rent or whatever.
Overall, I still think it makes sense monetarily and fiscally to, like, get a house.
At least, maybe not if in everyone's can. Situation. In our situation, because Texas has very low house prices, oh, it made yeah. sense.
Oh, yeah. Some people don't live where we live.
Some people live in fancy places where it's very expensive.
Yeah, that's why we don't want to move to, like, downtown LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, the cost of living here is appropriate.
Yes.
So let's see. What was the hardest part of doing the renovations for each of you? I think that for me, it's very tiring. You know, like going to work and coming back home and then like eating and then because like my schedule was bad. I'd like go to work. I'd come home at like 6:30. I'd maybe shower, would eat together, and then would work until like 10:30. It's just like going to work and then working more later. It was, you know.
It's like similar hours to now, except it was a soul-crushing job.
Soul-crushing job. Yeah, I think the main part of it is just like the energy that it took. Mm-hmm. I don't think that really any individual part of it was.
So I think for me.
That bad.
I think for me there are two hard things. One hard thing is because we were so new at it, there was a fear for me of like making something worse, putting a bunch of time into something, then making it worse and having to hire it out anyway, like we did with the tile.
Bathroom.
Huh?
The shower. Remember our master shower situation? Yeah,
fixing the grout in the shower.
You spent so much time in there just and scraping.
Yeah, well, I don't want to tell the whole story, but.
There's a master bathroom story where Caitlin spent a lot of time trying to fix something, and then we ended up just hiring it out.
Yeah, but then, like, even they didn't do a great job.
They didn't do a great job, and now we need to fix it again.
Yeah, exactly. So, but I think, like, that is a frustrating thing that I feel like it's kind of hard to know if you're going to end up in that situation until you're there.
Yeah,
you're
right.
The situation of, like, putting all this time, like, you put your own time and money into it, and then you have to hire it anyway. So, like, that was kind of a struggle. I think another part is that, and maybe this is part of the reason why we did, like, share these things on the blog, but a lot of the stuff we were doing, especially when we first moved in, there wasn't, like, a visible payout when you're done. Like, fixing the plumbing, yeah. Blowing the insulation, removing all those wires. It's like, well, things in the attic are more right now.
Yeah.
But it's like the house didn't look any different.
Yeah.
And so I think that can be kind of frustrating because, you know, some home DIY stuff is pretty. You know, you repaint a room and you're like, wow, this looks very different now. You change out a light fixture. Wow, that's so great.
You renovate your laundry room. Boom.
Yeah. Looks huge, awesome.
Huge payout.
Yeah, looks awesome. But there are also a lot of projects where there's no visible difference. And even though in your head you know that it's right or it's better or whatever. Now you don't get to like see that.
Or like, man, it would stink if like our furnace blower in our attic broke in a major way that we had to replace it, because that'd be like a huge cost and all sorts of time and trouble and all of that. And then nothing would be different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just a straight cost thing. I don't know why I brought it up within the home renovation.
I mean, it's, yeah, it's just not something that we would attempt to DIY. But I think when you are doing it yourself, it's easier to stay motivated when you're like seeing progress and you get to enjoy the progress.
Speaking of which, we had a question related to that. What was like your favorite part of the whole process where once you were done, you're like, yes, this was so worth the time.
Okay. So in terms of things we did ourselves, I think like one of the spaces that has made the biggest difference is actually one of the ones we did somewhat recently, and that was the laundry room, where like it was all cosmetic. We didn't change the footprint of the room, you know, like where the machines are. We didn't have to, like, everything was cosmetic.
Yeah.
And so, but it made such a big difference. So it was like not a crazy intimidating level of difficulty, even though it still took a lot of time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything too stressful.
What's interesting to me is I knew you were going to choose that, and that was my first thought too. Then I started like thinking back, like, because that was the most dramatic, like before and after. It's like it was bad, we put a concentrated dose of time into it and it was better. But you know what my favorite place in the room is that we put a ton of work into? The living room.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I love our living room. I love it. I love spending time in there. It's so cute and cozy.
Harder to think about because we did it gradually.
We did it gradually. When we first moved in, we just threw some like IKEA cabinets up against the wall and it was ugly. It didn't fit the space. Everything about it was completely wrong. We had this huge, long, amazing wall.
We'll put some links to blog posts.
We had this huge, nice, amazing wall. Photos. And we just had like a tiny console and two tall things next to it, which was like spaced for like what we had in our apartment. And then we just put our like ugly couches in front of that. And we're like,
yeah,
that's a start, you know, but over like the past 5-6 years, we've slowly been improving. I think the biggest moment is when we replaced those tall and skinny, like the tall and skinny home entertainment setup with like a really long, low row of cabinets from IKEA. And we put the glass countertops over all of it. That was like a huge moment for us. And then when we got the giant rug and the really nice couch.
Yeah. But we did other things too. Like we replaced a dated looking fan with a new fan. We had kind of like a dirty brass, kind of dated looking fireplace. So we spray painted it with a like high temp matte, dark, like black color.
We had a trouble tree that was growing over on top of our house. We basically chopped it down with chainsaws.
Yeah, and painted it silver and hung it above the fireplace.
Yeah, there's a ton that we did that room. It's just like spread out over so many individual projects. Yeah. And we never had like a before and after, and there's been no videos done on that room. Yeah, that's
so true. We'll link to a blog post with photos of like when we, how it looked early, but then we have some photos of like at the midpoint. We don't really have photos of how it is now.
But also it's like we have like the resin geo table over in the corner with like a fake plant that we found on our street set out for trash that Caitlin rescued, and we have hung like string lights in it, and we have all the lighting, just the perfect level of coziness.
We have our love letters from our wedding.
Have our love letters. It's like that room is just a happy place for us.
That is my favorite room.
It's my favorite room. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't really think of it as before and after because it's been so many small things.
It's so true. Yeah. Because it wasn't just like we tackled it over a week.
But honestly, that's what the majority of people, that's how most people tackle a room. Mm-hmm. You like say, okay, we're going to replace this entertainment unit. Okay, we're going to replace the lights. Okay, we're going to get a new couch. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to get a new chair. Okay, we're going to get a side table. And then we're going to decorate it like this and et cetera. Small changes over time add up into something that's really, really great.
Yeah, that kind of leads me to like another thing that I was going to say is I think like light fixtures are maybe very intimidating because it's like, oh, there's wires involved.
But they're some of the easiest.
We've replaced 90% of the lights in our house and we did all of those ourselves. And I feel like that makes such a big difference.
Such a big difference.
Like
even like the cam lights and stuff like that. Yeah, we replaced all of those. The flush mount.
We replaced every fan in our house except for one, which we are about to do like today
or tomorrow
and I feel like that makes such a big difference, taking it from like a dated looking fan or light fixture to something new. It's very easy, totally doable by yourself, and I just think that makes a huge difference, which is why we've done it in literally every room.
All right. Well, thank you again, Black Hearth Creations, for the question. That was really good. If you guys want to submit some questions, go to our community page on our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com/Evan and Caitlin podcast. Go over to the community tab, and we'll have a topic suggestion thread over there where you can leave some questions for us to tackle in the next podcast.
Yeah.
But now it's time for a thing of the week. My thing of the week is one of William Osmond's latest videos where he replies to spam emails, and like I don't want to spoil too much, but like
but the premise is like, okay, so if you are a content creator or like an Instagram influencer or things like that, you get a bunch of spam emails asking you to review products.
And they don't even care who you are.
They don't care who you are. They're sent out.
Dear sir or madam.
Yeah. And you just, your email gets clogged up with them. And so basically what he did is to troll them, he accepted one of them made a fake review video, and I'm not going to say what happens in the fake review video, and then like tried to get a reaction out of them. But like, so you just have to watch it. It's so good.
The setup is so good. It reminds me in some aspects of like a Sophia video where she sets
Sophia
it up.
Sophia Nygaard.
She sets it up really well. He set it up really well. And like the follow through, he really did like.
He follows through.
Commit, and he just like was trying to take it 100%. You know what I mean?
One of my favorite parts, honestly, is like the reaction between him and the person he was emailing at the end.
Yeah, that was so good.
So good. Okay.
So good.
But yeah, we'll have a link to that. It was a really good video.
Yeah.
And my thing of the week, it was a present that I received, and it's an espresso machine. And I am someone who likes coffee with like a lot of milk, like mostly milk and just a little bit of coffee. And it's... I had held off on buying an espresso machine because they can be super, super expensive.
Yeah.
Like hundreds or like over $1,000. And I was like, it just is hard to justify that cost, especially because like I also drink a lot of tea. So I kind of go through phases.
Well, but also it's like let's clarify here. Caitlin loves coffee in the fact that she likes really strong coffee with a lot of milk.
That's what I just said.
Sorry, I was like preparing the next thing I was going to say. Then I thought I'd.
It's okay. Great contribution.
I feel embarrassed now. Okay, go on.
And so because like I'm half the time or some 2/3 of the time like a tea drinker, and you know the rest of the time coffee, it just seemed like not justified buying a fancy espresso machine. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna see what else is out there. And I found this one on Amazon for $59 that had super great reviews. And I know that there are things you can do to make like a strong cup of coffee that's like a stovetop thing, but all the reviews, while the reviews were good, it was also like it takes 15 minutes to make a cup of coffee. And yeah. I was like, I don't got time for that.
Caitlin wants her strong coffee right now.
Well, I just like, I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like you don't have 15 minutes to spare. You know what I mean? And so I was like, ah, oh, man, I guess I could get one of those, but I would like something that does it faster. But I found this little espresso machine, and I put it on my wish list, and I got it for a present.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good.
Yeah. It only does one thing, but it does it well.
Yeah. It just does
espresso. There's no bells and whistles.
It has a milk frother. I haven't used the milk frother yet. But, like, you can make a 2-cup or a 4-cup.
Yep.
You know, it's great for, you know, it wouldn't be good for like an office where you have a ton of people sharing and like drinking from the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's super easy to use. It's very simple. It's very small.
Is it? It's not too much to maintain and clean and stuff.
No, yeah. No, I haven't. You just like kind of rinse stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but I like that it's really small. It's like the size of my electric tea kettle.
Yeah.
That I use for tea.
Like, it's awesome.
It's not a big, it's smaller than like a Keurig. But yeah, so we've really been liking it.
Yeah. And I know that she doesn't listen to the podcast, but thank you to my little sister for.
Yes, for getting that as a present. Even though she doesn't listen to the podcast.
She doesn't listen to it at all. I know she doesn't.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening and.
Unlike Evan's sister.
Shame. Thank you guys for spending some time with us. We really appreciate you guys, and we'll look forward to talking at you the next time. Bye.
Bye.